Okay.
The button has been pressed. We are all doomed. Well, technically, we're not all doomed. I'm the GM. I will persist. Your characters have angered the bone manticore fairy. And so this is going to be interesting. Yes, someone just pinged the map for it. It is right outside the it's light.
I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to.
That's fine.
No, it's great. I like that it's possible. Now, I did turn off. Foundry has an option to see everyone's cursor where it is on the map. So it's nice to like direct everyone's eyes like, oh, look over here. But it can also be very distracting when you're, say, clicking on things in your character sheet and everyone sees your cursor icon going left, right, up, and down and stuff. So that should be turned off. If it's not, let me know and I will play with it later. But hello.
I don't see anyone else's cursors.
Season 4. This is episode 30. Dry bones. Dem bones. Them dry bones.
Dim dry bones.
The hip bone connected to the
token configuration on the shadow spawn should not be hostile.
Oh no.
I mean, it's hostile to somebody.
Okay.
But not
and
to
5
me.
O'clock somewhere.
No.
True. Anyway, the hip bone's connected to the giant scorpion tail. It's fine. Why a scorpion tail?
It's
scorpion
fascinating.
Tails don't have bones inside of it. Technically, the bones are on the outside, so it's fine. And what is this?
That's
thing
because
that
it doesn't have much of an inside.
Oh,
someone has simply made an aftermarket scorpion tail out of bones. This is presumably a perfectly reasonable thing to do.
What if it's not aftermarket? What if it came with the original, probably a wizard?
Or someone was being very unreasonable when they made it, which is also possible. These are questions that may be answered in the future. But right now, we are going to be dealing with initiative, which we're keeping from last time because I'm lazy. So, I should probably say who's with us. My name is Crash. I'll be your DM for the evening tonight. I'm joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Ellie, Io, and Jen. What did happen last time?
We wanted resources, so we went to a graveyard and we killed Ash things that went poof, and Bipaki accidentally inhaled, never inhale, and poor smallest Kep got poofed somehow while investigating and probably got stepped on by the fairy undead fairy manticore thing. And now
don't
we roll
make
an
me
issue.
Rename it again to include the word thing. The name is long enough as it is. It clips off at some of my resources. Yes. Now, the only correction to that is I believe the main reason you all went exploring was because you were going to have to wait around a while and Bipaki was bored.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to loot a graveyard? It doesn't have to be a graveyard. Which graveyard is not the word that was used, but that tracks better with the song. So, you know, whatever.
Okay, yeah. It does.
I mean, the other thing we could name this episode is Mari was right, and we should listen to Mari.
Also, well, there's that. Yes, Mari wishes more people listen to her, but also Mari is terrified that more people will listen to her.
Now, in fairness to Bipaki asked if there were any stories, if anyone was telling stories about the undead rising and causing problems. This isn't just let's go rob a graveyard. This is let's go deal with some problems.
And we sure have found some problems.
And we found
having,
some problems.
Having edited that recording, that is certainly the story that Bipaki can say later.
That's the story that Ellie remembers.
Ellie is close to the story, yes. Mori will remember it differently, let's put it that way. With all of that said, You defeated the ash zombies. And then Smallest Kep, who was minding their own business, wandering through the little mausoleum thing, did go poof. That is correct. And then the door burst open.
Smallest Kep would say that this is deeply unfair. Smallest Kep has every right to be in a mausoleum.
It's like it was made for them. This is their hole. That's a reference. Anyway, the undead manticore thing burst out. And because we are starting at the top of initiative, it is Bipaki's turn. You have seen you've heard the thumping and the door burst open, breaking off of hinges. And just at the edge of this light that is centered around Sori, you see...
Because she's holding the light spell.
You see this monstrosity.
There's nothing to the up?
No, you have defeated all of the ash zombies, and there is one on the map, but it's only for archival purposes. Don't worry about that one. It's not technically there.
Okay. Yeah, Bipaki, I'm going to put myself forward between the creature and the casters.
Sounds like a good
plan. Long Kep is appreciative.
Uh-huh. Is there anything else you choose to do?
Not yet.
I think something's wrong with my hit points.
Uh-oh.
On my end, they appear to be topped off. Or is the total
wrong? Yeah, but I'm looking at Bipaki's and... I forgot. Is my hit die a D4? My hit die's a D4, isn't it?
It shouldn't be.
Oh. In that case, something's wrong with my hit points. Because Bipaki with the D8 and me with a D6, we should have the same number of hit points because my constitution mod is a point higher than Bipaki's.
You have 42 from levels and 21 from constitution. So that's 63. I have 8 times 7. That's 56 from levels and 14 from constitution. So that's 7. Yeah. 7 more than you is right. Because I get 7 more than you.
Oh, right. I forgot that since we do max instead of average, it's 2 more for each step instead of just 1 more. Yeah. Sorry, I've been at a place that does average HP, and therefore it goes up by 1 per step per level.
Understandable.
And my after-school club doesn't believe me when I say it's a math club.
Okay. I roll my saving throw at the end of my turn, right?
Yes.
Can Sori make an attack of opportunity on Bipaki? with guidance?
Well, you touch Bipaki a willing creature within 5 feet of you, so no. Bipaki has to leave range.
Yeah, I haven't left your range.
Oh, you haven't left it. Okay. Entering into range doesn't count. Okay.
And it's DC 10, Constitution. Ellie, you okay?
I'm thinking.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to hold my action.
All right.
Until the creature comes within range.
What makes you think it's going to approach? Besides all the evidence, just all of it. All right. With you holding your action, it is Mari's turn. Mari says a silent prayer to whatever god will hear her about this all being a dream. This prayer will not be answered in the affirmative. Anyway. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Mari is getting very close to negating Bipaki's noble act of getting in front of the healers. Because, of course.
Mari.
Well, Mari has in our previous recording, already demonstrated an inability to hit something if it's standing still and cowering. Okay, there was one thing that got a light pat because Mari's damage is minus one. And Mari rolled a one for damage. But never mind about that. It's fine. I'm sure it's fine. All right, let's take a look. Mari is going to cast a spell. But which one? It's going to be Ray of Enfeeblement. And yes, I double-checked. This actually is a spell that Mari has. Unlike previously, where Mari cast a spell that she didn't have because I didn't click on the button that said prepared spells only. Okay, that's a 19 to hit, which hits. So, according to this, the target is only going to deal half damage on attacks that are strength-based until it makes a saving throw. Next up, Utashi.
Okay. I'm going to hit it with a Guiding Bolt, if I'm close enough.
I would argue that you are close enough.
Okay, so, let's see. Forgot how to do this.
So, where you see Guiding Bolt, you click on the icon for it.
The icon.
And then go back to
the
chat.
Okay, I got the icon. Okay, it's a first level spell. And casting it.
Okay.
Attack. Ooh.
A dirty 20 will hit. Click damage.
Mm-hmm. Click damage.
Yeah, in the same box that had the attack button, right below it is damage. So if you click that, it'll roll the damage for you.
I'm not following. Sorry.
Okay. Go to the chat panel.
Yes.
The thing with the lower bubbles. And just above...
Yep.
The little entry that says you rolled
this
a 20.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so then I click damage?
Mm-hmm.
Yes? Okay, let's do it.
All right. 13 radiant damage. Mm-hmm. And for the sake of recording, some of us are not feeling well right now. And we're just making
exactly.
Best of it. All right. For example, the DM now has to do math because 13 points of radiant damage. And the DM isn't happy with that.
Sorry.
How dare you hurt my precious?
Yeah.
After all, Bone Manticore Fairy is baby.
No. No, it's jerk face. You know, like cats.
Technically, it hasn't hurt any of you yet.
Well, I'm making sure it doesn't.
It just jumped out to say... Hi, hey everyone, this little pile of bones fell down the stairs. I wanted to hand them to you and see if it was yours. And then suddenly, a ray of enfeeblement and a guiding bolt shot it in the face.
Well, then if it is actually friendly, it should retreat and attempt to, like, you know, wave from around a corner.
Well, now it's seeing you as a threat because it got a guiding bolt to the face.
Somehow I don't think that it was not a threat to start with, no matter how much guilt the GM is trying to give us.
I mean, we could definitely try to go with that. It's the Bone Manticore Fairy's turn. I like that that's what we're calling it now. Well, that's what I'm calling it. You call it Undead Fairy Manticore Thing.
Uh-huh.
There's an acronym there, but I can't be bothered to think of it. So it rushes forward. It's now within... melee range of Sori and Bapaki. Bapaki, is there anything you wish to do right now?
Yes, I want to stab it with a sword.
It's a bold strategy.
Let's see if it works.
I mean, this is Bapaki.
And I'm going to use my inspiration to give myself advantage on this roll.
Okay. A 17 will not hit.
Nope.
It bounces off its carapace.
Well, that's unfortunate.
But that does end your turn, does it not?
It does. Which means I have to go back up and find the ash buff.
Just roll a con save. Dirty 20 means that you are no longer under the effects of that ash cloud. Let's just turn that off. There we go. Awesome. Now I don't have to remember those game mechanics anymore. However... the Bone Manticore Fairy has other game mechanics that I will have to remember. Because my NPC did a thing. Darn NPC. Doing what you would probably do. Alright. So, multi-attack. It makes three attacks. Two with claws and one with its sting. It is going to... go after Bapaki with the claws. That's a 27 to hit for the first attack. And a nat 1 with the second
and
attack.
And its claws fall off.
Does it break a nail?
It breaks several, actually. There's a lot of stone lying around. So, the damage for this is going to be...
Plus 4.
Well, it's 1d8 plus 4. I rolled a 1, so it would be 5, except this is a strength-based attack, and it's enfeebled. So Bapaki is taking a whopping 2 points of slashing damage. And now the sting is going to go towards Sori.
Oh, 3.
Well, that's an 11 on with all the bonuses to hit. However, your armor class
so
is 14.
So my AC is... Sorry?
It's not glowing because none of us are orcs. Yes, you are correct. It doesn't hit you. Your AC is too high.
Obviously, it hit over her head because she is not a tall dragonborn. She is a small, culturally kobold dragonborn.
Yes, obviously. Let's see. Now I got to scroll up to... Not Guiding Bolt. But Ray of Enfeeblement saving throw. That is a 13, which is not going to do it. It's still going to be doing half damage during its next attack. Which is not for a while, because it's now Sori's turn.
And is very unimpressed by having this thing right here. This is terrible. This is awful. It doesn't want this. She doesn't want this thing here. And... she would like to turn the undead, if this is possible.
You can make the attempt.
Because that thing looks undead. It looks undead.
It certainly looks undead. You are correct.
Therefore, she will present her a holy symbol and speak a prayer, which is probably more like, get away from me, you horrible thing.
All right.
Does a 4 make it save?
It makes it growl at you.
Does yes. that mean it worked? Okay, good.
No, it doesn't mean it worked. It means you've made it angry.
No.
It has a plus 10 wisdom save?
That is one interpretation that you can make.
Maybe it's not undead.
That is another interpretation
that is also possible.
That is my action. I am... out of bonus actions, so oh well. I guess I will have to pass to the next.
Okay. The next is Longcap.
Longcap does not hit with Chill Touch.
Alas. Oh wait, Longcap is blessed.
Oh, right.
Do you want to use your bless?
Longcap does
it's
not
an
hit
18
with
hit.
Nope, sorry. AC 19.
10, 15, 20.
I'm sorry,
not
but with
very
the,
much does not hit.
The with the way the map is set up, seeing the way Sori and Bapaki are right up next to this thing, and having Lefty, 10, the undead dragon hand, sort of scurry up between the two of you to poke a finger over your shoulders at it.
25, 30.
The hands are very large, and we are short. It's probably striding over us, practically.
Yeah, but reaching over someone's shoulder is awkward, which is why it didn't hit.
Obviously.
And Righty is...
I feel like I might have calculated that move wrong, but I don't remember where Righty was, and I don't think there's a back button.
There is, unfortunately, not. If there is, I don't know where it is.
Oof. Whatever. I guess Righty can't hit.
Well, not
and you've got your shadow spawn somewhere.
The shadow spawn is over north, west of here.
Well, because Righty can't attack, Righty will take the guard action on Bipaki.
5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40.
And the shadow spawn will dash.
45. There we go.
The shadow spawn is right next to the bone fairy manticore thing's tail. This is perfectly acceptable. This is fine. Because if anything happens to it, it'll just be resummoned.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I exist? To get stabbed by the manticore tail. Why? It's logical.
I think it exists to chew on manticores from behind.
Not going there. Bipaki.
Bipaki is realizing that she had pack tactics because it was next to Sori and she didn't need user inspiration.
I think you had disadvantage, though.
I did have
because
disadvantage.
Because you got poisoned.
Yes, yeah. Pack tactics, the inspiration was to take away the disadvantage.
It was. But also Guiding Bolt.
I thought the inspiration was to give you back Sneak Attack.
But also
Guiding
Bolt. Oh,
wait, you don't need
Bolt.
Advantage if there you're was... next to someone. Right, yeah.
Yeah, so there were multiple things there. Bipaki, put the inspiration back because Guiding Bolt would have done the same thing you wanted it to do.
Okay. Well, Pack Tactics also would have... A lot of things giving me inspiration on that attack.
Yes. As one of the few actual kobolds here.
Yes.
In this all-Cobalt campaign.
I wish I had a better weapon to stab it with. So I'm going to stab it. Again.
All right.
Or try to, at least.
Well, unfortunately, a 12 will not be high enough.
And I don't think, I can do a double attack, but I don't think I can hit with a second attack. So, that's my turn.
Okay. It is Mari's turn. Mari casts Zone of Truth. No, Mari does not do that. Mari is going to cast Bless.
I have a fundamental disagreement with you about what disturbing the dead means.
Mari is going to bless... Dang it, where is that? It's not those wings. That's flying. Mari does not cast flying on 4 people. That'd be hilarious.
Why did I get my Bless taken off?
Bless keep just because Long kept used it doesn't seem to be a once.
Yeah, it's not a once.
It's a whenever.
Ah.
Did someone stop concentrating?
No, I'm still concentrating, I think.
Let's put that back. There we go. So Mori is blessing Bipaki and Sori.
Oh, we got Utashi, right.
And Utashi.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mori. Meanwhile, Mari has Sori's Bless on her, so this is definitely Team Cleric here.
Yes. Next up is Utashi.
Okay, I'm going to put a Guardian of Faith over on the side of this giant creature that has a spare square next to it and nobody in it. Just kind of have this Guardian of Faith appear.
The question is, do I have a stat for Guardian of Faith that I can put somewhere? I don't think I do.
So if you roll it, will it create one? If you click Guardian of Faith on your character sheet?
That's a good question.
Maybe.
Give it a try.
Right, so click that icon. Oh, there we go.
Oh. Okay. Got that. And then saving throw DC 12 dexterity. Yes?
Okay. So
why did Foundry just reload itself?
That's an excellent question.
I didn't see it reload itself.
We're fine here. It must have decided to on your end.
Okay, so I'm going to add a Guardian of Faith. And I can think of no more vicious, more filled with retribution, enraged Guardian beyond. Is it adding?
Is it going to be the sheep? There is it going to be the sheep?
Oh, that's good.
A Canadian goose.
It's a goose.
It is a Canadian goose this time, yes?
Yeah, not just any goose, but a Canadian goose.
Canadian goose, yes.
Yes.
That sounds like
Can of gooses.
It really sounds like something Utashi would do. Like, it's going to be a goose. You know?
That sounds right.
She just thinks they're neat. Mm-hmm. Hmm?
Yeah.
Who cares the darkness?
What's this?
Hmm?
Oh.
Oh.
Who
cares
the darkness? Oh, you shared a screen cap of your map. That is, that's a thing. It shouldn't look like that.
No.
Does one cast darkness on Foundry?
I don't know if I have that.
That's impressive.
What's interesting is, like, there's... It's showing lights and darks that don't exist on the map.
Right. Yeah,
yeah, that's because my phone did that.
Oh, okay. A phone flash, right?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the flash. My phone just adds light to things it thinks are too dark.
Okay.
Okay. I like the effect, actually. I'm going to turn that into a map texture. Where are we? We're on Io's phone. Oh, no!
Oh, no!
we can't stay here. This is Sith country. Twi'lek Sith will attack us.
I would argue that, except, hold on, let me... let me show you what my phone background is.
Truman Gus.
Yes, my phone background is concept art of the Citadel.
Neat.
Well, I mean, there's mine as well, which you don't want to have mine either.
Neat. Both of them.
Mine's just a picture of my wife.
All right, is your timer doing? So.
I am going to...
Sorry,
have...
I don't like to let the time inhaler timer go off because it's loud.
And while we're having this conversation, the Bone Manticore Fairy thing has rolled a nat 1 on its saving throw versus Guardian of Faith.
Ooh.
Nice!
So 20
Does the
points
goose
of radiant
bite
damage.
Him? Oh, wow.
Radiant Goose!
Radiant
the
Goose.
Not only... bites
oh
him.
My gosh.
The goose also takes several of the claws that were broken off previously and dumps them in a small pond.
This fits. I know where that's from. But... yeah. I could just see Utashi doing that, though. It seems really like, yep, this.
Utashi continues to think Canadian geese are neat.
Mm-hmm.
All the politeness
just imagine, though, this...
that exists mm-hmm. in Canadian citizens, stereotypically, is because everything unpleasant has been distilled into the goose.
Yes. I could just see this thing, though, attacking and then trotting off to drop it in some water and coming back. You know?
We're going to say that is exactly... Well, it drops it into a small pile of ash because there is no water here, but that's besides
sure.
the point.
Okay, well, that's fine.
This is fine. It is the Bone Manticore Fairy's turn. It is going to use multi-attack because it worked so well last time. By some degree of worked so well. Mm. It is going to... Let's see. What is the reach of its claw attack? Oh! It can reach over Sori. It's going to make a claw attack against Utashi.
Okay.
Because it can reach 10 feet.
Okay.
All right. That first is a 26. Oof. And the second is a 13. So looking at your character sheet,
what
the first
one
hits, the second one doesn't. And
first one hits, the second one doesn't.
Yes. And that's going to be 5 points of damage to you. I'll do the math for you.
Thank you.
There we go. And now it's going to use its scorpion tail. What's the reach for that one? That reach is... Dang, where is the reach for that? Reach 10 feet. Okay. It's going to use the scorpion tail on Mori. Basically, it's going after the people who've actually done something to it.
Okay.
That's a 12 to hit. Once again, it is proving ineffective against the characters. It's having a bad day.
Dice luck is... Well, if it's having a bad enough day, it should, go away.
Well, right? Not against the roll of saving throw against Maury's thing that Maury did, which was...
Oog.
Ray of Enfeeblement.
Enfeeble.
Which is all the way up here. It is no longer enfeebled.
You're in trouble.
Well, you're in trouble if it can hit. It's hit one opponent per turn so far.
Yeah, well, that's dice luck. It's always it might always get better dice luck, and I don't like that.
This is true. However, sorry, you might be able to do something about this.
Indeed. Let me just double check my spell book, because there is always my absolute favorite thing, which is, let's see, it's first level spell. It's cast it at first level. Command is flee.
All right, gonna roll a wisdom saving throw.
Ew.
It does not flee.
Actually, it was probably scram, but close enough. Yeah, Sori is very distressed that this thing actually has wisdom.
Guardian of Faith does damage every turn, doesn't it? I'm not seeing that in the spell description.
I think so. Let's see.
It has stats for when something moves into the space.
Right.
But not for after that.
Okay. No. The creature takes 20 radiant damage on a failed save or half as much on a successful one. The guardian vanishes when it has dealt a total of 60 damage. Has it done 60 damage?
No, it's done 20 because it failed its save the first time. I don't know if this is how it should work. Sometimes spells like this are on the thing getting hits turn. Sometimes it's on the turn of the person who cast the spell. I'm going to wait for your turn to roll the saving throw again.
Okay.
But as written, it technically doesn't take damage again unless it, does the time shift and does a jump to the left and a slide to the right. Or the other way around. I think it's the other way around.
Something like that, yeah.
Yes. Right.
And something, pull your knees in tight, yeah.
That was Sori's turn, correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay. It is now Longkep's turn. Longkep, who is the most sensible of the party and is very far back.
Longkep likes to get out of the danger zone.
Why do we even have that highway?
That is not going to hit no matter what Bless does.
That is correct.
And I'm selected on all my characters and I'm not about to move them as a unit. That is... not helpful.
Righty comes over to give the bone manticore thingy a high five. Or a low five. Or a slap to the face. Or one of these things happens. Possibly.
Glove, challenge it to a duel.
The gloves are off. A 16 will
Righty
not hit.
Does not hit.
But Lefty... will not hit.
Also does not hit.
Oh, no.
But the shadow spawn...
Chilling Rend.
Will not hit.
Fails its multi-attack with 2 9s.
We'll take the higher of the 2 9s. But each of those is
no,
a separate
we
attack.
Will not, because that is not how multi-attack works.
You are correct. You are correct, but I wanted to make the joke.
Mm-hmm. And even if it combined the 2 9s, that would still not hit.
Sadly, you are correct. If only Maury had cast Bless on the
this
Shadow
is
Spawn and the
not how multi-attack works.
If only multiple factors were different, this would be fine. All right, it is Bipaki's turn.
Well, once again, I'm going to hit it. Or try to.
A 25 is going to hit.
Will a 25 will hit? Okay.
It's about darn time. You stab it right between the bones. All right. And you do... That's a lot of dice. Sneak attack damage. So you would be doing 23 damage. That's
23 total. I don't know if it does reduce.
It does reduce. It's resistant to non-magical weapons that aren't silvered.
I thought it might be.
All right. Math, my mortal enemy.
And yet you are playing games.
I am playing math games, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I'm not playing text, so I can't move it away from the casters.
Suddenly, a rift opens. A robot walks through.
Oh, no.
It's the droid from the Star Wars game. Their head falls off.
Whoops.
Oh, no.
It was very loose to begin with.
Oh, no, not the poor... not the poor servant droid.
It's been through so much. This... Oh, we found out what's on the other side of the Nope portal. It's this.
This is a lot of Nope. We got...
It's a bone manticore thingy and a Canadian goose. The portal opens
up. No wonder they're screaming.
The portal opens up again. A bottle of vomit is thrown through.
No. Oh, no.
You hear a voice saying, look, all I'm saying is we keep the Nope together. I'm sorry, did you want some first? The portal closes.
No comment, no comment, no comment.
Let me check the stats of the bone manticore thingy to see if it's resistant to bottle of vomit.
God.
Now that is out of context.
Like very few things are resistant to that.
Most things are vulnerable to that, I think. Very, very vulnerable. It is Maury's turn.
Maybe get away, get further away than its 10-foot range. It clearly has one.
Stepping out of range, though, invokes an attack of opportunity. So there's
also that. Right.
So it's a give and take. One of the stats for Maury is Harness Divine Power, which is separate from Channel Divinity.
Fascinating.
And I don't know what Harness Divine Power means.
I don't have it.
Well, Maury's Death Domain.
Right.
So it might be something else, but, you know, I don't know. And I'm not going to pause the game to try to find out right now.
I can click on it, look at it. I can click on it. No, I cannot.
Yeah, if it was something that was like under features, then I could click on it and read more about it. But it's one of the powers that can be expended that has like 2 out of 2 or 1 out of 2 or whatever. So I can't click on that.
You can't click on it. If you click on it, it won't expand.
If I click on it, I can change the name of it.
Oh.
As you might guess, that doesn't help.
Okay, not my fault.
This is correct. Maury is going to cast Fairy Fire, which means you're all going to have advantage. You can all pretend to be actual kobolds. Okay, each object in a 20-foot cube within range is outlined. I am going to do this. Oh, hey. So I'm sorry about your shadow spawn, but in Mari's defense, it's an abomination.
What about the goose?
The goose isn't technically there as something that can be attacked.
Okay.
Well, let me... It's okay. The shadow spawn's okay.
That's a 5 on a saving throw, so the bone manticore thing is not okay. Everyone gets advantage, except for it.
All right.
That is Mori's turn. Utashi, it's your turn, so this is the time where it's going to have to make a save versus your Guardian of Faith.
Okay.
But that's not any action of yours.
The GM does.
Oh, the GM does it? Okay.
Yes. So you can be thinking of what you're going to do while I'm doing this thing.
Okay. Well, let's see. What does this one do? I'm going to do... Let me think about this a minute. No, I'm not going to do that one. Spiritual weapon, can I do that?
Yes. As a bonus action.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So I'll do something first and then do that one, I guess. Let's see.
By the way, for the record, it made its save, so it took 10 points of damage from the Canadian Goose Guardian. Guardian is the wrong word for Canadian Goose.
Yeah.
Avenger? No, they don't avenge. They just destroy.
Yeah. Let's see. I think I'm just going to do another Guiding Bolt. This seemed to have worked before.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do that. Cast spell. Attack?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And unfortunately...
That's not very good.
Oh, no. Roll again, because you have advantage... Because of the fairy fire.
Okay.
Basically, it turned
Utashi's
into a shiny.
Real cobalt.
Yes. It did. It's a shiny now. All right, so I do the guiding bolt.
We need a pokeball.
Hit the attack button.
Oh,
again.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, just on this one that's in the.
Yeah. You don't need to cast a spell again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well, a 15 unfortunately will not hit.
Okay.
But now...
It's shiny now.
It is shiny now. And you could use your bonus action to cast Spiritual Weapon.
Ah, okay. Well, I will cast Spiritual Weapon then.
Okay. What's your Spiritual Weapon look like?
It probably looks like a very, very shiny sword, but it shouldn't. So, let's see. What does it look like? Oh, it's from your deity, isn't it? Right?
Okay, yes,
so
but
if that's
remember
right,
historically
then...
we had a spiritual weapon from a cleric of Ogma that turned into a blender.
Oh, right. I do remember that.
Yes. So
okay, so it's a spectral weapon that lasts for the duration or until you cast the spell again. Makes a melee attack spell against a creature within 5 feet of the weapon. Let's see. Okay, so the picture of it looks like a glowing sword in the character sheet, but if it's connected to her deity, that's Ilmater. So it's probably like two hands sort of tied together, like with punching fists, and maybe that'll do something.
Okay. Unfortunately, I don't have an icon I can grab real quick that looks like praying hands.
That's fine. So, yeah, that's fine. Okay, so do that. Oh, 10.
All right, a 10 is unfortunately not going to hit.
Okay.
Oh, wait. You have advantage.
What?
Hit the attack button.
Oh, I do.
Again.
Try again. 15. Probably still not
Deja
hitting.
Vu.
Okay.
Okay. Oh. I was not expecting the pink elephant to be that large. For the record, the pink elephant is not a pink elephant, and it is not that scale. I just wanted any kind of icon to be there to remind me that there's a spiritual weapon that's up.
Okay.
We'll put it back here.
Yeah, I think that's the end of my turn.
It is.
Okay. All right.
I just crushed everyone with a giant spectral pink elephant with a balloon. Whoops.
Okay, I'm done.
All right. It is the Bone Manticore Fairy's turn. It is going to try to do its attacks again, which I can't do if I am in the tile controls still. There we go. It is going to make two claw attacks versus Utashi.
Okay.
First one is a 10. I know that's not going to hit. Second one is an 11. I don't think that hits either. No, our AC 14.
I don't know.
So neither of those hits. And it's going to try the sting against Utashi also. Utashi's our heavy hitter right now.
Yeah.
So it's going all out.
It's because she doesn't think about what she's doing. She just does something that seems good, you know?
You look really angry. Right, go ahead. Here, have a goose. They always cheer me up. A 13. It tries so hard, but it's not getting very far. And in the end, none of this matters.
No. Yeah. Her armor class is a 14.
Yes. So it is.
It just barely misses.
Mm-hmm.
In my head canon, it's expecting Utashi to be like a combatant that's dodging and weaving and stuff. But Utashi's just like standing there. So it stabs where it thinks Utashi's going to go after fainting. But Utashi's not moving, so it just stabs the ash in the ground. It doesn't know how to react to this.
She like watches it. It's like, okay.
Sorry, it is your turn.
Sorry's turn. Okay, I am going to ask a three-dimensional question.
Oh, boy.
If I cast something that has a cone, since I'm apparently like right beneath it, since it came and tromped over to stand over me, can I cast a cone thing upwards, like into its face, in a way that does not take out the poor shadow spawn or the goose or the spiritual goose?
Spiritual goose. Mm-hmm.
The spiritual goose cannot be targeted.
Okay.
So you don't need to worry about that.
Because this is not Baldur's Gate, and you cannot attack a spiritual weapon.
Don't make me add Minsk to this game. Minsk and Boo. Okay, mostly Boo. Minsk is optional, but mostly Boo.
No, that's Ellie's cat.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Boo and Boo. Best adventuring duo or best adventuring duo? It's Boo 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Spelled B-O-U-X-A... No.
I believe that is the history of the name, but never mind about that. They did stat up... I think they do have Minsk and Boo in Spelljammer. Because, remember, Boo is a giant miniature space hamster, and... giant space hamsters were created for Spelljammer. So I think I might have the stats for them. But never mind about that. Sorry, yes, you can angle a cone so that it's going up at an angle and goes right over top of the Shadow Spawn's head.
In that case, I want to basically engulf its head in this and not hit the Shadow Spawn.
Okay.
Engulf the Manticore's head.
You are going to breathe fire.
Poof.
And I'm going to make a roll.
Okay, so technically, yeah. Yes, you're going to have to because...
because it's not letting me do anything.
It's a 15. Properly. Dex DC 12.
Yes.
Ah, good. It did turn into the thing I wanted ancestry. To turn into.
What's the saving throw for fire? It's dex, right?
That's what it says. There. Dex? Yeah. Okay. I think it's dex. Ought to be dex. It's.
That's what I'm going to do. And we'll worry about it later if it's not, because we're getting close to the end of the round. And we're coming up to an hour of recording.
Yeah.
So, we're past that, actually.
Oh.
So let's finish this off. It makes it save by a lot.
Wow.
That is, in fact, a lot.
However, that doesn't mean it's immune to damage. Well.
Right.
Oh. You breathe fire in its face. I didn't need to make the save. Fire, it was born of this.
All right. It's immune to fire.
It's immune to fire.
Sorry is so annoyed.
It's immune to being turned. It's immune to fire. It's vulnerable to a bottle of vomit, but you don't have one of those.
I can maybe get
one pretty quick. I want one.
I mean, Sori is just so disgusted by this. It's entirely possible that you can get a little red dragonborn barf here. From
if only someone here had a bucket of blood.
Those are difficult to carry around effectively over a long period of time.
I know a Twi'lek who agrees.
And yet they are the one carrying it and Longcap is not.
Because Longcap is
despite the fact that Longcap honestly has more utility for it.
If dry bones are a problem, we have a solution. It's called bucket of blood. Apply directly to the bones. Sori, is that
anyway,
your
Sori, I did not mean to interrupt so much.
Oh no, this is glorious. I love every moment of this. But Sori, is that your turn?
I don't think I have any bonus actions that are going to be useful for this, so yeah.
Okay. It is now Longcap's turn.
For my bonus action, she is going to be disgusted.
That's a free action.
Uh-huh. Longcap's turn now?
Yep.
Bless right. is not going to save that.
Nope. Although I do appreciate that. At least one of us remembered an advantage. The 19's going to hit, though.
Lefty? Hits. And does 7 piercing.
3 piercing.
Oh, dear.
She is not silver-plated. You'd think that a magically animated bone creature would count as a magic weapon, but...
Can you imagine going into the jewelers with Righty and Lefty and saying, hello, I'd like to commission some work?
It's not the jewelers. You just have to find the right place that does manicures.
They're not going to have a large amount of silver lying around.
Details, details. I mean, it's a manicure that we need.
Oh, hey.
And the Shadow Spawn hit, and that is...
Twice.
Okay, so it looks like a total of...
A total 28. Of 28 cold.
It yes. takes 14 because it's resistant to cold damage.
It's a nuisance.
It is.
The only reason that we are not dead is that it is rolling badly.
I was expecting at least one of you to get hit by the sting and have to make a saving throw. Chill Touch, which is in name only, for it is neither... does hit.
Yep.
And guess what? For all of this thing's foibles, guess what it is not immune or resistant to?
Necrotic?
Necrotic damage is going to do exactly what it says on the tin. Congratulations. You've hit it with something that it doesn't like.
And if it can regain hit points, it cannot do that until the start of my next turn, because there is yet another skeletal hand clinging to its face.
You have face-palmed it.
I have face-palmed it.
I love this. Mm-hmm. And I parsed your sentence correctly, but I still find amusement that you said, and if it can, then it can't.
Yes.
Because yes. it has a face hugger.
If exactly. what is happening here is what I think is happening here, it better not be. Anyway.
Exactly.
All right. So that is the end of Longcap's turn. That would be the end of the initiative. I am going to go to initiative 20 of the next round before break, though, because initiative 20... is a traditional spot for lair actions.
Oh no.
Righty and Lefty lift off the ground. They form
little
into
exclamation
fits,
points appear above their fits.
And they both come down.
I missed part of that.
Okay. I will start again. Righty and Lefty rise up right. off the ground and form into fists. And you sort of catch the glimmer, the outline of a dragon silhouette contains these fists, where they would anatomically actually be on a dragon if they were still attached to a dragon that wasn't all bones and lying in a pile on the inside of the planet. And they smash down hard on this thing's back. And there are crunching sounds underneath as fist imprints form where the arms meet the spine and also in the lower back. It lets out a sort of wheeze. There's no way for air to get from its lungs to its mouth at this point. But there's still something of air coming out of its mouth through the skeletal chill touch hand. And then starts to crumble away into bone dust. And this large silhouette of a dragon looks down. It's very, very translucent. You can only make it out because the hands give you a clue. It looks down at this thing and says, "Stay in your own domain, Pertinax. The dead are mine." And we've been playing for over an hour. Let's take a short break.
Okay.
All right. So we are back, and to recap for the players, because we were AFK for a little bit. So yeah, apparently a giant spectral dragon possessed Righty and Lefty, which are undead skeletal hands of a dragon, pummeled a demon into the ash, and then essentially told a dragon god to stay in their lane. This is fine.
So long as Longkep doesn't decide to reanimate the thing that just got pummeled as well and bring that along too.
Oh, the corpse is going away.
Turning into ash?
It's turning into dust and blowing away. It is made of a material that doesn't stick around for reanimation purposes.
Useful.
Actually, hold on a second. What is this? Yeah, this is turning into dust and ash. If it had been something else, it would be turning into sludge, but it's not. So ignore that. Right. This dragon then turns and looks at the rest of you, and mostly looking in Maury's direction. And then, but it adjusts its gaze to look at the rest of you as well. Pertinax has crossed lines. You will not likely be safe where followers remain. And as that sentence finishes, Righty and Lefty fall unceremoniously back down into the ash. They are unharmed by this, but the spectral dragon is gone.
Okay, that was different.
I wonder if we can keep them. I like them, kind of.
Keep who?
I feel as though the question of who is keeping who would go more in the other direction.
I mean, I just wish they didn't need us to go away. Especially because it's all there's a tap in your mind. It was immune to fire!
It was touched by a god of ice.
I think it would melt.
It was not made of ice.
Maury's gone over to what's disintegrating and looking at the head, which is taking a bit longer to. It was made of corpses, but it wasn't undead.
I don't understand.
A golem?
The corpses were vessels, I think. I think it was a devil.
Huh?
I think it was a devil. It would make sense for it being immune to fire. Couldn't it be turned?
Ah. Does Mark happen to know what a bone devil is?
That's a good question.
It's made possible an arcana that skill Maury's check of 25. Two together at this point.
Oh my God. Sori does not know what a bone devil is, I think.
You're a cleric. Give me a wisdom roll.
Just plain wisdom?
Now give me a religion check.
Ah, there it is.
I'm trying to see if Sori, the canonically amnesiatic cleric, remembers something about religion.
Oh my.
Bapaki doesn't know anything about any of this with the nat one.
Oh,
don't know much about history. Don't know much theology. Sori, the amnesiac, knows nothing.
Hmm.
You don't know what you've forgotten.
That's about right.
Maury, however, canonically got a 22. So yes, Maury knows about bone devils.
Hmm.
If anyone ever told me about bone devils, I have, It was before.
Arcana is the wrong skill, then. Okay.
Maybe.
Well,
does a 25 get anything with Arcana?
I would argue that there is enough overlap in the Venn diagram that a roll of 25 in Arcana would still have you know something about planar denizens. So you might not know all the ins and outs of how bone devils work, but at the same time, you'd be like, oh yeah, this makes sense. It was from the Nine Hells.
I think that it is fascinating that is the sort of planar denizen that would be summoned against us.
I assume Pershanax just went with the materials that were at hand. This isn't the first thing that was sent at us either.
No. But the others were more
thematic
related. Yes.
And it sounds like in doing this, with what was used to do this, Pershanax doesn't care about getting the other gods angry.
I suppose letting demons loose to wander around.
Devils.
Right. It's a kind of, I would think it would be kind of rude.
That is definitely a word you could use, yes.
I mean, Maury, there aren't any of the gods here who think it's a good idea to let devils loose, right?
No, very much no.
Suppose we should see if there's anything that it disturbed on its way up that we should lay back to rest or something?
Yes, you're probably right. All right.
If it was actually made out of corpses, yes, I suppose we should figure out if it was summoned or created. I do not believe I am aware of the full implications of what it would mean if Pertinax was creating devils, but I am given to understand that would be new and bad.
More likely it was summoned. My understanding of devils is they're created from, like, the souls of lawful evil beings. Maury would not use the term lawful evil. Alignments don't exist in that regard. But the souls of evil beings.
But Pocky, do you want to come explore this place so we can find out? Or should we just sort of be careful and hope there aren't any others?
Now, this map doesn't have a second floor for me to turn on for you to see going down the stairs, but I will tell you that the staircase leads down to a floor that is very similarly aligned to this top one, with two more sarcophagi and also a bunch of alcoves that would have had bodies in them. There are no bodies. You ain't got nobody. There is a small jar that says abnormal brain. That is not true. That is not canon.
Nope.
Good, because I would probably take it with me.
You spent your inspiration today, didn't you? No, you didn't. You've still got it.
Are we going to have to gather up the dust and put the dust back in one of these alcoves?
I don't think we can. It's already mixed in with the ash. This place is severely desecrated at this point, but it wasn't our doing.
No. I hope it wasn't because we came.
If Pertinax was behind everything coming up, then maybe. It depends on who Pertinax is deciding is an enemy. If it's just you, and Maury gestures at all of you, then perhaps if it's anyone who isn't siding with Pertinax, this could be happening elsewhere too.
Either way, sorry. You should not blame yourself for the actions of others.
Can we reconsecrate the place? Look at Maury, this one.
Maury looks back at you and is silent for a while and then nods. I'd like to do this alone, if you don't mind.
Okay. Longcap is already removing themselves, and possibly more importantly, removing the skeletal dragon hands.
Maury.
And hopefully picking up any parts of Smallest Kept that were found.
Right. Poor thing. And yet the goose remains somehow.
Well, the goose hasn't done 60 points of damage yet, so the goose will remain.
It's waiting. Yeah, the goose will remain until it gets all the damage.
The goose is he who waits.
Yes.
Do not ask for whom the Canadian goose honks. It honks for thee. Maury says a prayer to lay all the dead in this place to rest. Suddenly, righty and lefty turn to dust. That is not canon. That doesn't happen. Half of that happens.
That's because... That's why Longcap took them out of the place.
Something like that. All right. So, it's a good 5-10 minutes of you all waiting outside of the mausoleum thing. And
tidy up the headstones, brush the dust off them, be polite.
A bit of a fog seems to be rising up from the ash. And after a little while, it becomes clear that it's coming up in spurts, where there'll be nothing for a little while, and then a whole lot of it will come up at once. And then you realize that there's a vibration going through the ground when that happens.
Maury, pray faster. Something's coming. Big.
Maury comes running out of the mausoleum and says, "Things are shaking in there. Is it shaking out here too?"
Something's coming. It's great big footprints. Boom, boom,
boom.
It
wasn't me.
Let's go.
All right. So you all start, I'm assuming, running towards the ship?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Booking it.
Okay. When you get to the Shrike ship, you hear it say, "Processing. Something's thumping."
And this is why we need to leave.
the Canadian Goose spiritual guardian stares on as the shrike ship lifts off into the early light of pre-dawn. It will remain standing watch until it does 30 more points of damage.
Yes.
As one does. It could fly south for the winter. But no, it's one of those geese sure. that's just going to stay here anyway and be a nuisance.
Of course it is.
Uh-huh. Yes. All right. As the shrike ship lifts off, I am not going to require rolls for perception because you're in the ash wastes. Most of it is featureless, well, except for the large dunes of ash. Every now and then there's a mountain or ridge or something. And you were in a sort of ravine for this particular set of this graveyard, which was mostly protected from the dunes of ash coming in, which is why you were able to see it in the first place. But off in the distance, there is a figure. They are probably about... Okay, they're tall. They're very tall. Maybe about 50 feet tall. It's hard to tell from this distance, but they are quite large. Which makes sense for why you were feeling vibrations in the ground. They look to be made of ash and ice. And they're not coming towards you.
Where is it headed?
Towards the oasis.
That was what I was concerned you would say.
And that's where we're going to end it
for. I think we need to...
Okay. All right.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, everyone, for playing. Tonight, I was joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Ellie, Eo, and Jen. Who would like to plug a thing?
Eo's mom writes books at elizabeth-mccoy.com. And speaking of books...
My website is bookofjen.net. It's got a lot of Diablo stuff on there that I've been meaning to add more to, and book reviews at the top, and whatever else I feel like putting in there. So that's at bookofjen.net. I'm also the host of the Shattered Soulstone podcast, which is at shatteredsoulstone.com, and new episodes generally come out every week, but we take a week off for the holidays.
And speaking of websites, we have one. AaronBSmith.com/cogwheel. That's where all of these episodes go. So you can listen to them there. You can binge on a whole campaign if you wish to do that, because there's a whole... We've got three previous seasons of Pack Tactics alone, for crying out loud. Most of it's D&D. There's some GURPS stuff that's there now. There's a whole bunch of one-shots. There's even a Cypher System game, and I'd love to have a Cypher System campaign, but time management is a thing. I still have a day job. And I'm going to keep that for another 9 years. That's when I can retire. So we love when you listen to these. If you liked it, why not share that web address with others so they can listen to it as well? Maybe they'll think it's cool too. I love when people listen to these. And if you really like it, you might possibly consider helping us break even by joining our Patreon. Clearly not a requirement. This is a hobby, but you know, if you think it's cool, we'd appreciate it. You can join other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Shanchen, Walter, and Patron Emeritus Cindy. And until next time, this is Crash saying, horror is seeing something approach. Good night, everybody.